I'm watching Jersey Girl, mm-hmm. and I'm doing this. If you can see on the webcast, I'm like, little smidge. You know, I try to hold it in.
You're such a wuss.
I know, man. I mean, I'm a sucker. What can I say? But anyways.
I obviously like the movie, but a lot of cats came down on me for that, and so they just rained crap upon me.
Well, there's
gonna
be more, because here's what I'm thinking. If you can do Jersey Girl and mm-hmm. have that nice sentiment, and now that you got a kid, you're going to do the Eddie Murphy thing where for about 6 or 7 years, you're going to go way off the edge grid and you're going to start doing kids movies. Am I right?
Never.
Come on.
No, I don't know how to make those movies. Like, you know, I barely know how to watch them, let alone make them. I mean, the thing that I got tagged for on Jersey Girl was the over sentimentality. People were like, oh, it's real melodramatic. Same melodrama level, same sentimentality level in Clerks 2, but
right.
you get away with it in Clerks 2 because you got a donkey show balancing it out.
Yeah, a good one,
so
too.
So you can sit there and, like, be kind of sappy, but then you're like, check it out, a dude and a donkey and mouth. And
wait a minute. So maybe in 10 years you're going to pull a Lucas with Clerks 2 and say, you know what, Clerks 2 10 years ago, Scott, maybe you can help me with this. We shot what we thought, but we didn't have the technology, so maybe in 10 years will there be a donkey in Clerks 2?
Well, there was one in Clerks. We actually had
one. I mean,
donkey.
Like...
A larger donkey,
a bigger, like seeing seeing it hung.
See the whole.
I
strange
you,
question. I'll give you that.
It is a very. I'm like, where's he going with this? If in 10 years, if I'm gonna pull a Lucas and Clerks too, I'm just gonna have Greedo shoot first, and people will be like, where'd he come from? Like,
nice. Yeah. Well, going back to internet, Kevin Smith, Scott Mosier, and Sudo. Going back to the internet, do you guys email pretty secret stuff across the internet, or do you not f with it? How about you, Scott? Like a script. Will you guys do a script over the internet?
I'll hurl Scott a script. I won't, like, link it to an email, but I'll dump it via iChat, you know, through an instant messenger or something like that. Or, Bar, are you talking about, like, I send Scott pictures of my penis?
No. That's your thing.
But check it out, dude.
I'm just talking about...
It's still small.
I'm just talking about, like, hey, I just wrote this. These are some new revised pages. And do you trust the internet to shoot them over?
Yeah. I mean, just in iChat, because iChat's kind of like the, you know, it's hooked up to AOL Instant Messenger. And it's kind of... gives you the ability to drop a file in a matter of seconds. It's very tough to intercept that. If you have it sitting attached as an attachment in your email box, the way I understand it, and I'm not, you know, Bill Gates, so you can call me on this, I may be wrong, but if it's sitting in your email box and he doesn't pick it up for a while, even if he does pick it up for a while, a copy always exists somewhere in cyberspace. That's much easier to kind of hack into and grab.
I would think like a fanboy who's working at Yahoo, you know, like, oh.
I've had that happen, dude. Somebody like, this was going back, too. This was going back to like 97. It was right after Chasing Amy. I'd send somebody a copy of the Dogma script via, like, dial-up, so it took me about 9 hours.
Oh, my God.
There was some dude who posted on the website who was just like, I read the Dogma script. It's awesome. And I was like, where'd you get it? He's like, from your inbox. And that kind of changed my perception of things.
Oh, my God. And now it's got to be, like, you know, it's got to be encrypted. Anyways, if you want to get on the air and talk to Kevin Smith, it's simple. The phone number, it's toll-free. It's 520-9710, so it's 888-520-9710. Or you can watch the webcast live on 971freefm.com. That's 971freefm.com. We're going to be talking about a lot of cool things here and a great art show that you're involved with, Crazy for Cult. After this break, we're going high art, but let's take a phone call first. Pat in Santa Rosa, you're on with Mr. Kevin Smith.
Hey, Kevin, how's it going?
How are you, sir?
I'm good. Scott, your hair looks good.
Oh, thanks.
Are you watching it?
Yeah, I watch it on the webcam.
Right on.
So I wanted to ask you, because I've heard this, a couple of people have said this, but did you ever get to address the issue of Bruce Willis being in Jersey Girl? When you got to talk to him on Die Hard 4.
You know, I haven't, and a lot of people ask me about that. Like, did you grill him about Jersey Girl? That was not, like, the first thing I wanted to do when I met the dude was be like, why weren't you in Jersey Girl? Because it's kind of like, you know, do you even need a response to that question? You know, if I was Bruce Willis, I'd be like, dude, look what happened. I'm glad I steered clear, man. It made Color of Night kind of look like a proud film in comparison. So, I haven't gotten to address it, but perhaps one day down the line. I mean, my feeling is he probably never even got it. It probably got to the producer and stopped there.
You're going to invite him over for poker?
I don't. I mean, I would, but I. He just, oddly enough, that dude just called me the other day, which my head nearly exploded. I was in Vegas. I went to Vegas playing a poker charity tournament, and my phone rang. And I didn't recognize the number, but I figured maybe it was my wife calling from some other place, some dude's house or something like that.
You don't have that many phone numbers in your phone.
I've got them, but it didn't come up as ID'd or anything like that. So I'm like, what is it? And I answered it, and it was a voice going, Kevin. Bruce Willis. And I was like, hey, how are you? Now, mind you, like, I haven't, you know, I spoke to him when we were making the movie and I saw him at the premiere and we did an interview for the DVD, which they kind of cut up and put a little bit online in advance of Die Hard opening. But
right.
That's it. It's not like, you know, we went out and had lunch or something like that. And we just chit-chatted for a little bit. He was like, I just want to see how your 4th was going. You know, the great independence of our country we're celebrating today. And it was such a bizarre, like, I just wanted to, like, kick open the box and kind of fire up the flux capacitor. Go back to the 16-year-old Kevin Smith and be like, one day Bruce Willis is going to call your cell phone. And be like, the 16-year-old Kevin be like, what's a cell phone? Once we got past that, be like, really? Why? You know?
Did he ever see the 16-year-old Kevin at all on set?
Did he?
Yeah.
No.
No, you just kind of, I'm a filmmaker.
Oh, no. I'm
indie cred.
No.
I'm indie cred. I love that quote.
When I think of the 16-year-old Kevin Smith, I think of a dude that is half the size that I am now. You mean in terms of attitude?
Like, yeah, your attitude.
Like, no, definitely my geek came out a little bit. Like, I would sit there and talk to moonlighting, to him about moonlighting and whatnot, and then went back to, there's this episode of the new Twilight Zone that was like maybe circa 82, 83, called Shatterday that he was in, like right before moonlighting broke really big. It was the first thing he'd ever been directed in for TV, and it was by Wes Craven. So I brought that up. I was like, dude, when I say Peter J. Novens to you, what do you think? And he's going, that's my first job, Wes Craven. Without him, I wouldn't have gotten into TV. And, you know, just opened up this discussion where you're like, I can't believe the dude still remembers his first job.
You know, I can't believe you admitted on the air they watch Moonlighting. I love Moonlighting.
I love Moonlighting. You know? Moonlighting is one of the best TV shows ever made. Like, the writing was so crisp. The performance was great. When that show was cooking, it was cooking. But by the time they got to that last season, it was horrible.
Yeah, that David Addison, amazing. Hey, we're in studio with Kevin Smith. We are going to take a break, and we're going to fire up an art show that you can go to and just mingle. You're a mingler, right?
I'm a mingler.
Yeah. Kevin's
not a drinker, so don't think we can hang out and I'll be, you know, doing quarters with you and stuff, playing quarters. But I'm a total mingler. I'll mingle.
I want you to, over the break, think about a quarter story. I want you to take me back.
All right, we're in studio with
Kevin Smith. We're talking, and it's 520-9710 and online at 971freefm.com. Do not go away. We are rolling, baby.
At 97.1 Free FM, we're always giving away a ton of free stuff, thus the name Free FM. So get to our contest page at 971freefm.com where you can get hooked up with guy getaways, free concert tickets, and whatever else people in SoCal are into. Register for your chance to be a king in London with Lycus. The trip includes airfare, hotel stay, and tickets to see the King season opener in London. We are 97.1 Free FM, SoCal's FM talk station. Powered by Laser Eye Center. Get $500 off custom LASIK. Call 880-LASER.
If there was an emergency, would your family have enough water and non-perishable food to last 3 days? We asked families across the country. Here are some of their answers.
We usually eat fresh food daily.
In the pantry, we have canned tomatoes.
Sure, that's really not survival food. Tomato paste.
The brand of dog food that I do purchase are edible by humans.
Is your plan any better? To learn more about making an emergency plan for your family, go to ready.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Homeland Security and the Ad Council.
You know, every morning here at 97.1, we get a special package from the Thong Rockers over at the Score Gentlemen's Club. No, not one of those. This comes without batteries. It's a picture of a brand new hot chick. And you can see it too. Just go to our website at 971freefm.com and check out the freshly delivered hottest chicks in SoCal. Oh, by the way, the soon-to-be Scores Los Angeles is moving downtown to the Score Gentlemen's Club, located at the corner of Santa Fe and Washington. So check them out online, thescoreclub.com. We are 97.1 Free FM, SoCal's rump-shaking FM talk station.
The Ducks Stanley Cup celebration continues, and 97.1 The FM Talk Station is proud to ride this bandwagon till the wheels fall off. Tuesday at 11 a.m., join the Street Squad and the studly goalie John Sebastian Jaguar for an autographed DVD signing at the Walmart off Tustin and Heim. Later, from 5 to 7, center Andy McDonald will come out to sign some autographs at FYE on the corner of Harbor and Orangethorpe. We are 97.1 Free FM, Anaheim's FM Talk Station.
You know, at 97.1 Free FM, we like to wake you up with some toe-tapping talk.
I'm Henry the Eighth, I am.
Henry the Eighth, I am.
But on Monday mornings, the Adam Carolla Show eases their way back into the talk week by bringing in their CD collection.
This is a horrible song.
And then talking about good and crappy music.
I think it's one of the best songs ever.
This is an awful song.
Music Mondays is powered by Hornitos Tequila, alerting you to prepare for this year's live all-summer Battle of the Bands. Hornitos Tequila reminds you to drink smart. Music Mondays.
I like it.
On the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci. We are 97.1 Free FM. SoCal's FM talk station. This exciting portion of the Film Freak Show is powered by Dos Equis, who remind you to stay thirsty, my friends.
Leo Quinones is the Film Freak.
What did you like better, Jedi or The Empire Strikes Back?
Empire.
Blasphemy.
Empire had the better ending. I mean, Luke gets his hand cut off, finds out Vader's his father, hand gets frozen to take away by Boba Fett. It ends on such a down note. I mean, that's what life is, a series of down endings. All Jedi had was a bunch of Muppets.
Yes. We are back. The Film Freak Show live. This show is the FU to movie critics. Scott Mosier, producer.
Yes.
Right-hand man to Kevin. What is your opinion on movie critics?
You know, I mean, there's like, there are some decent critics out there. There's some people who I think write some stuff that you know, I think that they sort of engage the movie, and even if they don't like it, they write intelligently about it, but generally I don't really read any of it.
Do you think the movie critic, per se, are people less into that? Because everyone's online, and everyone can have an opinion now. Kevin Smith rejoins us in studio. We're talking about movie critics, and where are you at with them now?
I wish I could be more zen like Mosier. Mosier never reads any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll say, I'm like, did you see this review? He's like, I don't read any of them. Why would I see that one? Me, I read everything.
Everything?
Everything. Jeez. Every review, the good and the bad.
Isn't that an ulcer waiting to happen?
What it is, it's just a reason to go eat. Because I'm a comfort eater. Like, some people medicate with drugs and booze. I'm just like, oh, Wampa One didn't like the new movie. I'm going to go eat a sausage sub.
You know, I didn't know how I was going to handle this because it's so, you know, we just lost Joel Siegel, and I didn't want to, I wouldn't want to. If he was alive, I may have dumped on him, but I'm not doing it now when the guy's in the dirt. But,
I mean, look.
I was on, you know, let me go back to Joel Siegel and
Matt. For those that don't know,
yeah.
I got into a tiff last year with Joel Siegel right around the time of Clerks 2.
Yeah.
Because he got up in the midst of a press screening in New York and said, that's it, time to go. I haven't walked out of a movie in 30 effing years. Good night, everybody. And so at the time, I mean, immediately I got a phone call a few hours later from, which I guess isn't immediately, but a few hours later I got a phone call from the New York Post going, do you want to comment? Because we're talking to Joel about it. And I said, all right, well, you know what? Let me write a blog and then you can pull whatever you want from there. So I was like, if this is going to talk about it, I guess I'll talk about it. But I'd rather kind of do it on my own terms rather than give quotes to the New York Post and have them pick and choose. So I wrote a blog about it, and I thought it was kind of fair. You know, some people, I think I was okay with writing the blog in terms of, like, people were like, yeah, I get it. It's not that the dude walked out of the movie. It's like, you know, I can't get upset about that. That's a matter of taste. It's that if you're going to walk out, just do it quietly. You don't, you know, get up and be boisterous and loud in front of a bunch of other critics and take attention away from the movie. Like,
yeah.
You know, you're not the movie, dude. The movie's up there. So if you're going to leave, just do it quietly. And then I was on Opie and Anthony like 2 days later, and they got Joel's number, and they called Joel, and we had a big discussion about it, and sometimes it got a little heated and whatnot, and I guess I was a little overboard in terms of, like, just, I wanted him to admit he was wrong.
Yeah.
Professionally, he was wrong.
Yeah.
So it got played a bunch of places, went out on the web, and everyone was able to hear it. Even if you didn't listen to Open Anthony, you could listen to the 20, 25 minutes of me and Joel Siegel, who apparently didn't even know it was me for like the first 15 minutes of the interview. He's like, if I could say one thing to Kevin Smith, it would be. And I was like, dude, I've been talking to you for 15 minutes.
Wow.
But now in retrospect, it, you know, that chemotherapy might have had a lot to do with that. And there I was beating up on a very deeply cancerous man.
Oh, gosh.
So, you know, Joel got the last laugh.
So you did it. Murderer. Murderer.
Totally. And Joel got the last laugh because he really could have pulled that ace card out of his sleeve at any given moment and been like, you want to know why I walked out of the movie? Fine, dude. I'm knee deep in cancer. How does that make you feel?
Oh, jeez.
And he didn't do it. But, you know, ultimately he kind of gets the last laugh because I wind up looking like an even bigger jackass than I did when I was arguing with him a year ago.
In studio with Kevin Smith.
Not a good death for, me. Not a good death for Joel.
No. It's a lose-lose.
It really is. It makes you feel bad. Actually, you know, we're supposed to grow and learn from some things, and that I did take a bit of perspective from the whole thing and be like, in the future, I should probably just calm down about it.
Well, you know, you got to say your piece.
Technically, I mean, like, I'm sad he died, but he was wrong to do what he did, to get up and be loud while he was leaving the screening. Dying doesn't make that right.
Here's an a-hole prick. Critic thing at Grauman Chinese and went to see Transformers. Mm-hmm. Have to see the movie before you do the junket. And I, sir, is that seat taken? Yes. Okay, so I sit one over with another guy, and then halfway through the movie, he's up and he's out. You know, these movie critics. So they're gamey, but I wanted to bring another movie critic situation in for you, Kevin Smith.
Yes.
I was so proud for the layman, for the movie lover, when you went on Roper and you defended Kevin Costner's, Ashton Kutcher's
The Guardian.
And God damn it, you held your ground. I mean,
it was
tough,
that was a tough movie to actually stand up for.
It's
really not the hill you want to die
on.
No. You know?
Listen, though. This is great because I'm watching it and I'm thinking to myself, Richard Roper is such in a movie industry cocoon that the most out there person he can talk about a movie with is Kevin Smith, who is, by all senses, an industry insider. And you just said, you know, sometimes you just want to go to a movie, you just want to maybe turn your brain off and just have some fun. Oh yeah, you probably had to turn your brain off for that. Right. And he said, no. So
he raised an excellent point, though, which is like, okay, this is the first time you've seen a movie like this in a long time. I've seen 5 movies like this year. And in comparison to the other 4, this doesn't hold a candle. And I didn't even bother to ask, what were the other 4, dude? I don't remember many Guardian-like pictures. But, I mean, those dudes have to watch.
My name's
going to
be on that wall? I mean, how many times have you seen the young cadet with the name on the wall?
Apparently.
You know, Annapolis.
That's a dude who, those dudes have to sit through everything. I get to pick and choose what I want to go see. And there's some stuff comes out where you're like, I know I'm never going to like that. In a million years, I'd never go see it. And the beauty of doing those Ebert and Roper gigs is that sometimes you're forced to see crap that you would never go see and that you've prejudged, and you sit there and you watch it, and you're like, that wasn't bad. Another one was Step Up, dude. A movie in a million years I'd never go see Step Up. And maybe it was the altitude of the screening room, or maybe I had just taken an awesome dump right before it.
I sank
into that movie, and I was like, I can't dance. This is entertaining. I like watching thin people do things.
Isn't that original storyline, guy from the wrong side of the tracks,
exactly.
Girl from the right side of the tracks.
I did not maintain that it broke new ground, but for what it was, it was totally watchable and whatnot, and I was like really in the minority, critically speaking. But then the movie opened huge. Like, you know, that's a movie, that's an audience-pleasing movie. Critic-pleasing, not in the least.
Well, that's when I say F you to movie critics, because, hey, if I like Austin Powers or Clerks 2, isn't it my ultimate decision?
It's all subjective.
I'm paying $10, so it's relative. But anyways, let's move on to what's really going on here, and it's about access. You know, when Kevin Smith made it big, he said one thing. He said, I will always be there for the people.
When I made it big, I said one thing. This will not make me any more well-endowed. It won't happen. Unless there's a surgery that comes along, like making it into the movie business ain't going to make me any bigger or any thinner.
This part of the Film Freak Show brought to you by Total Male Enhancement. Get the surgery. It's done. Kevin, I got you a plug. You're in.
That'd be sweet.
Okay. In by Monday, out by Tuesday.
I remember I think it was a National Lampoon or Mad Magazine when I was a kid. There was a drawing of how to enlarge your penis, and it was a box that you slip into, and it had a bunch of mosquitoes in it.
What was her name?
And the mosquitoes, I don't know what her name is.
Oh, sorry.
But a bunch of mosquitoes presumably would pin it, and then you would get larger. And I was just like, if that's what it takes, dude, I'm going to go start catching mosquitoes. Because I live in Jersey, and we are kind of the home state of the mosquito.
I'm horny, but I got malaria. Okay. All right.
I'm leaking pus, but look at how wide it is.
Shut off the lights, honey. You'll enjoy it more.
It's bumpy, ribbed for your pleasure.
Hey, you guys, it's okay. I got 20 people in the studio, and they're all afraid to laugh. I mean, if you want to go ahead, I mean.
They're not afraid to laugh. They're like, that's just not funny. Man.
Okay, let's move forward.
let's move on.
I don't know if you can get a shot of this. Crazy for Cult. Now, this is actually bitching. I got drawn in. I'm not really an art guy, and we're going to start talking about art in a minute, but Gallery 1988 on Melrose Avenue, how did you meet up with this crew?
Via Scott. Scott Nugentzen, the guy who's would you say the curator? Is it a curator? Gallery director. Or is that also owner or just director?
Yeah, I'm also the owner.
There it is.
Okay.
Also a client. Scott met Jensen and they got to talking, I guess, and he said, hey, we're doing this show. Would you guys like to be involved? And, I love artwork, particularly when it's themed toward me. So I was just like, oh, there'll be a Clerks piece there? I'm totally in. Couldn't wait. But if you can't see the piece that Leo held up, you go to gallery1988.com and click on, like, the front page. It'll give you links to two pretty cool pieces that are up there. The one, what's the one, the painting?
Jeff McMillan on the flyer.
Jeff McMillan. Yeah,
Jeff McMillan. I don't think we can get a close up on this, but it's on the website, and it's got the dude, and it's got, you know, Silent Bob, and it's got the transvestite from Transylvania, the three that you really need.
It's got Bob McKenzie.
Yeah.
It's got Donnie Darko. Frank the Bunny from Donnie Darko. It's got, not only does it have three David Lynch characters, like Laura Palmer, who's the other one?
Blue Velvet,
but yeah, Frank from Blue Velvet, but also David Lynch himself makes it into the piece. Leatherface, Divine, Pee Wee. I mean, it's all, everyone in attendance at Laura Palmer's funeral. It's a pretty amazing piece of artwork.
So if you want to go, let me. I will give this out during the show.
Nigel Tufnell,
Tuesday, July 17th. Nigel, up to 11.
Yes.
It's Tuesday, July 17th. And it's through August 10th. And the opening reception is Tuesday night, July 17th, from 7 to 11. Kevin is going to be there smashed on Perrier.
That'll be me.
That'll be you?
You rarely ever get to see me drunk, and certainly not publicly.
Well, you were going to give me the quarter story of back in the day.
That was back when I was in high school, when I was easily impressionable, and people were like, let's drink, because that's
what
we do on
then?
The weekend.
Oh, what'd
vodka straight, pop off from a squeezable, non-breakable plastic bottle. That was when there was a time in my life where, like, we spent Fridays and Saturdays making crank calls, sending pizzas to people. And then we got into, like, high school, and suddenly everybody's like, no Fridays for drinking. And I was like, it's much more fun to send pizzas to people than it is to get inebriated. Don't cost anything. You know, we can go and sit there and watch when they get delivered. And we would do it multiple times. We would send, like, an order of six pizzas to a dude's house, this dude Johnny Ram, who lived in Highlands, three times, and watch people answer the door and just be like, again? You know?
It's a joke? I mean, after the first or second time?
We would go to different pizza parlors. Like, you can't hit the same pizza parlor twice.
Oh, okay.
But Highlands, the town I grew up in, has a lot of bars and a lot of pizza parlors, so we were able to kind of do a trio.
Well, here's my question for you, Kevin Smith. Let's say you're this Jersey guy who started making movies, and then your career build, and you have a body of work. But as your celebrity grew, were you ever in an art show or at an art gallery where you just weren't getting it, where people were, and you're just like...
Yeah, totally. I mean, I can totally see paintings and just be like, I don't get it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like you make a few, you know, dick and fart joke movies and suddenly you get art.
Because Sylvester Stallone, the neo-cubism is...
I'm so not that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously I'm a bigger fan of pop art. And you know, I can appreciate, like, a well-done piece. But,
sure.
But just not, you know, I'm not the guy that can kind of sit there and talk impressionism and stuff like that.
So,
I don't know art, but I know what I like, as they say.
That's the mantra of the movie. I don't know everything. I know what I like. So, Scott, help me out here. The Crazy for Cult on Melrose Avenue, July 17th. Like, how many pieces, Jensen? Just shout it out. How many pieces will be on exhibit?
Over 100?
120 pieces?
There's over 50, 60 artists that are doing different, you know, there's a whole ton of movies that they're pulling from. We've mentioned some of them already, but there's like 50 or 60 different artists. So you're going to see lots of different styles,
yeah.
Lots of different, you know, and the artists, it was kind of up to them to pick whatever movie they kind of wanted to do.
Well, that's kind of...
I saw a piece. Is that piece the professional piece part of the show?
Yeah.
I saw that piece. That was pretty dope.
Yeah, and if you want to check it out online, it's simple. It's Gallery 1988. Now, don't spell out 1988. It's gallery1988.com, and then you can get all the information there. But Kevin's going to be there.
And I ran into Mahfood. Dude, Mahfood's part of the show, too.
Yeah.
And I asked him if he was part of 8-Bit, I Am 8-Bit, because Jensen did a show, what was about 2-3 months ago, called I Am 8-Bit, which was all pieces based around video games. Atari 8-bit games, like older 8-bit games, Nintendo games and whatnot. So you had, there was an awesome set of, like, they're not plushy, but they were stuffed and sewn Burger Time figures that, like, it was amazing. You sit there going, who thinks, like, this is art, man? But I'm so with them. Like, I would plunk down $600-$700 for that. Unfortunately, it was sold already. A lot of Mario pieces and whatnot. So he does these shows that are really, like, fun to go to. It's not, like, kind of stagnant, let's all sit around and try to figure out what the artist was saying. It's pieces that they're pop art, man. They are what you see.
Nice.
And brilliantly rendered.
Well, we're going to take a break here and return with Kevin Smith and Scott Mosier. Talk art, maybe talk some 80s movies. Let's talk about maybe like Mosaic, you know, visuals from 80s movies that stick out in your mind. Let's have some fun with it. If you'd like to get on the air, that's why you're
that
here.
That sounds like fun.
Oh, have a good time. It's going to be a good time. 5-2 And I got DVDs to give away, too. And it's 520-9710. That's 888-520-9710 and online at 971freefm.com. And I believe viewaskew.com. Kevin Smith is here. We're talking movies. We're talking art. Gallery 1988, thank you very much. The Film Freak Show will continue live online. Don't go away. We'll be right back.